I wanted to know so much about his presence. People ask me about that all the time. How do you get his presence to come? At times, special parts of a message or something, he'd show up, and the gifting of the Spirit, he'd show up here and there. People would get excited. It wouldn't be hard to have a presence. But just a presence. I remember reading something about Smith Wigglesworth, and he got on a transit train or something. And some guy walks by the chair and goes, "Oh my God, you convict me of my sins." All he's doing is just sitting there. You know, you wonder when you hear things, is there a presence like that? What can be represented, you know? And I didn't know. I knew when he came with the gifts, it could get awful powerful. But we went to Oklahoma City. It was a passion play. The angels flight on wires. I mean, it was really pretty good, I'd say. And it only lacked one thing I could tell. It was presence. Coming back in the car, as a couple of us went, two or three, I don't know. I was wondering, how could you get a presence into something like that? I mean, really get it in. And for that matter, how about anywhere? And I don't think that was the last time that he told me something to do, and then I waited a year to do it. Because I came back, I said, what would bring your presence into something like this? He said, if you go home and worship me all night, you'll find out. Well, that would have been the beginning of finding out. But did you? No. What'd you do? Just went home, watched TV. I sound like I'm the only one that did that. So the time went by, and I'd remember it. So when he said that, I decided, well, it must be the Holy Spirit adding private worship. Yes, he's opening that door. He opened the door to fasting. I love to go through the holidays like now's time. You know what this message would be on today? Gary can tell you. What would it be on, Gary? It's after the holidays.
Fasting.
Yeah. He's really glad that there's a break from that. And some's replaced it for a period of time. That door closed up for a while. But if you wanted to know what we'd be saying, why couldn't we cast that devil out? It's because of your unbelief. Howbeit, if you'd like to know what can get rid of, howbeit this kind cometh not, but by. And then we'd go into, what does not eating have to do with the devil coming out? Then we'd go into, if Christ be in you, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. It's seated with him in heavenly places. The Spirit is life. The righteousness, but the body dead because of sin. What happens when I fast? You execute the position your body's been declared, your flesh, which is dead. Dead. You say, fast, fast. What happens? Flesh is camping on your born again spirit. You go, I'm trying to believe. So you start fasting and praying. You fast it down. I'm trying to believe. Yay! I've got it! I've got it!
No, you don't.
I got it!
No, you don't.
Yes, no, yes, no. Fast, fast, fast.
All of a sudden, what you were believing for starts happening, and you're going, oh my God, my fasting moved God. No, it didn't. It just moved you into a position you could receive from Him. He doesn't need to be moved. He's already moved.
Well, you mean if I go without eating, He'll do something?
No, but you will. Anyway, those times were fun. I don't know why. I'd like to go back and do it, but it was fun to watch your faces. And then later on when you were fasting, I could tell. Hi, how you doing?
Who asked you?
The minutes get real long because you can't, you know, what's at the end of them? More not eating. What I got to wake up to in the morning? Hunger. So, how many appreciates the fact that I haven't taught on that maybe 3 or 4 years now? Oh, God. All right, where were we? I was coming back from Oklahoma City, and he said, if you'd go worship me all night, you'd find out. And I didn't do it for a while. I wished I would have, and then it didn't start out all night. I'd try at times, but I went, and I finally had to pledge myself. In other words, I'd have to make a promise to myself and to, this is what I'm going to do. So I committed to a period of time for private worship. Then it was 4 to 6 hours is what I had committed to. And you don't know how I felt in the mills and the working and all those times they call on me real strong, and I just didn't have the faith to get away from it, to break free easy. And so to be free doesn't mean you'll pray. It just means you'll spend more time for yourself. But I committed to 4 to 6, and that wasn't easy. I'd go and say, I love you, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory be to God, I worship you and praise you, I give you the glory and I thank you, hallelujah, 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 glory, hallelujah. Glory. Boy, if you knew some of the times I went through. Have you ever heard the terminology as dry as cracker juice? I mean, this is after being in there a while. Every word, I praise you and glorify you, would go. I had a spatula that I was trying to throw them up. They were flat. Then I had that vision. I don't know how long into it. That heaven opened for a moment, and a couple of angels was watching like we was a television station. Or you were on TV or something. And one was saying to the other, as I was trying to hold my hands up, saying, I love you and worship you and glorify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one said to the other, look, no matter how many devils has tried to pull his hands down and what hell's done, they haven't got him to quit. Boy, it made me happy. He wasn't any more problem after that. I don't care what he tried. Yeah, well, what began to happen? What began to happen? It wasn't long. I walk out just like usual and start. I've come to some kind of balance. It comes and goes. I'd come out, but I don't expecting it all the time and that kind of thing now. But when it first appeared, was come out and just start worshiping a little bit, and pretty soon, in Brazil, it didn't matter if they spoke another language, they were all just bawling and crying. Here, people would start weeping and crying. I'd try to pray for them in the line, they'd weep and cry. And what kind of presence is this? See? The miracles were great. They were great in the presence of that love. How many members on the curtain? We had crutches and stuff clamped up on the curtains. And then we just threw them in the pile up there. Most of them came into existence through that time of worship them. Now I go out on the field, there's all kinds of it, just a standard evangelism kind. You pray for the crowd, there's miracles galore taking place out there, all over. So I was asking God, you know, we're believing for what here? What have we received here in Tulsa? Read the signs. My God, there's a sign took place in the church. See that? It's a sign. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Did you know that? This is a sign. Tulsa is what? It's going to be? No. No. Tulsa is what? Because that's truth. Tulsa is in revival. This is what he said he wanted here. When I was in Oregon, way up in the mountains, High Cascades, little old mill town, walked off my job. Kids were little. David, Bill, Steve, really little. David was the oldest. Walked off my job, and one of the visions that I had, one of the things he told me early on, he said, you will go to Tulsa. He didn't say when. But he said, you will. And this is what I want. I just turned 30 2 weeks after that. When I walked off the job. That's 40 years ago. He said then, he said, I want you to go to Tulsa. I'll tell you when, basically, and when you do. He said, this is what I want. That's why we have this up here, and that's why this is up here. So do not get discouraged or dismayed or downcast. How do you bring a revival to one of the most religious cities in the world? We have the college, we have the Bible college, we had ministries that just shook the world in teaching and power. And all of these have left their trail in Bible colleges and teaching people. And so I know I know that revival is for this time. Only this time, I know people's going to come in here into Tulsa by the hordes. I saw it. Remember the grayish matter around the planet, and it was over us. And I said, that's the principalities and powers of the air, isn't it? And he said, no. He said, that's your flesh. Oh my God. That's who we're battling? Our flesh? Somebody fought. They fought it. And they stuck their hand up out of it, and that hand glowed like the other side of the flesh. It glowed. And they come back and they lay it on people and they'd get healed. And another one, he got his mind through. And he come back and he was glowing. You should have heard him teach. Then some of them, they managed to get all the way through it. Man, when they came back, my God, what a revival. And then the people that was going out would go through that flesh and then shoot like sparks to the darkest places on the planet, and they'd ignite a fire and it would burn. One thing I did know, that this revival was near the end or of his returning. I seem to know that somehow. How many believes we're getting close to that? A lot. A lot of people has predicted. They're still predicting this, predicting that. He was supposed to come at the end of the 6,000 years. Because on the seventh day he rested. And one day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. So we were supposed to go into the millennial in the year 6,000. Did we? Oh yeah, I guess. Did we? Are we 20 years into it? We're 20 years into the millennial. Huh. Uh-oh. Maybe not. People are dying and stuff. Maybe not. How many times? You know, in Oregon, we've seen people run up on mountains because he was going to come. They'd run up on a mountain and wait, and pretty soon they'd get hungry and come back. Come on, you're not going to predict today. We can know a time and a season, but you're not going to predict a day. I believe we're getting close. I also believe at this revival, I mean, wherever it comes from, it's going to do some world shaking and harvesting. Hallelujah.
Well, we're just a little friendly church on the other side of the river. We just like to come and be blessed. We'll increase the offering if you'll quit threatening us, you know.
Do you know what other people hate about us the most? Especially if we go preach somewhere. We want the miracles, but there's one thing we don't want you doing.
What's that? Telling them that you don't believe in tithing.
Do you know how many don't want you around? Hey, the only reason you're given is because it's law that says you do. You're under the wrong dispensation, because now you receive life and His nature on the inside. If you're not wanting to, you might as well put it back in your pocket. If you threaten me with well, destruction isn't so much anymore. But if you threaten me, Oh God, no wonder you're not blessed. You know, you have to do this. You gotta. You know what I found out in this dispensation? It's just like you and the lost. Why do you go after them? To see them saved because He loves them. He doesn't have any other way. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Harvest truly plenteous, laborers are few. You think He's got another way to harvest people? No, He don't. He said, I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they'll receive you into everlasting habitation. Can't serve God and mammon. Hate the one, love the other. When He talked about that, what He was saying, look, use the power that's in money to cancel their debt, which is the sin question. And at the end of your life, when you go home, everybody that got born again because you used the power that's in money to do it with, they're going to be there with a big party for you. I don't give because I have to. That's why we got this set up. Like we have it set up. I don't give because I have to. I give. Same reason I fast. Same reason you pray. I genuinely want to see you saved. People saved. Tulsa saved. I don't do this because I have to. I'm in. I'm born again. I'm okay. I could really just manage to do nothing the rest of my life and still make it. You could too. Because it's by His grace, not your works. You'll make it. But do you want that? The reason we're even left here after you're born again, we could have just shed our old man and took off. Got a new one. It has to be you that goes after the lost. He doesn't have anybody else. That's why we have the privilege of staying here. I get my chance. You get yours. When I look at you, I can hardly believe that I have to put up with you forever. How old will you be? 33 and a half. That's when He was cut off. He was cut off, so you'll never be older than that. Hallelujah. You say,
I wonder if there's life out there.
Oh, for crying out loud. Of course there is. You think somebody that's been around forever has done nothing? You can't even see the end of the galaxies, and they're in the natural that we understand. Billions and billions of galaxies out there. Billions. We can't even, we get to the end of them, and then you see there's something else, but you can't get close enough to see what it is, you know. You think He did all of that? And then a little mamby-pamby that doesn't even make it to 100 years is wondering if there's anybody else out there but me. Hey, but I think we got something. We are. his sons and daughters. When he talked about the angelic creation, he said, he maketh his angels ministers of flame or fire. But to us, he says, today thou art my son, because today I have begotten thee. You were born of me. You wasn't created. Whew. And he had to leave us here. We have the privilege. He even gave us his power to do it with. We even had the privilege of, when we got our new natures, that the Holy Spirit could abide. He could step in and live in us. And he gave us his power that we could go into darkness and harvest his fields for him. We have that privilege. Do you have scriptures marked? Every time I get up here, I have scriptures marked. What happens? I end up exhorting. What's exhortation? It's when you pull something out of God. Generally, it's something there's a group is needing or is wondering about. Exhortation. So I'll stand out here. Then I'll fight my way back to the Bible. And he'll make another attempt or two. And if I don't yield, then I usually finish a bad message. Did you get that? Says here, we're free. I got it. In the days of the apostles and in the formation of the New Testament, for these had the Word of God inside. Paul speaking, I think, my God, I pray, speak with tongues more than you all, because he had already pegged it as a source, on purpose source, to receive the mysteries of God that were hid in Christ Jesus, the mystery of who Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Paul knew he couldn't pray in this language that came down from heaven and not pray those mysteries out for the purpose of them being answered in a form of understanding the mystery you were praying out. Remember, their letters explaining these mysteries is now your scripture in the New Testament. So they had to walk out here armed with what they knew and having been taught by the Holy Spirit through this one major avenue in particular, praying in the Holy Ghost. For Jesus mentioned him, and he says, for he, the Holy Spirit, shall receive of mine and show it unto you. He'll not push, drag, or pull, but he will guide you into all truth. Now tell me, if you go down the street and count the churches just on our street out here, they're almost on every corner. If you look in a ways, because we even got a neighbor church divided by a pasture, not a pastor. If they got the same Bible, it'd be hard to get a couple of them together in Corinthians there when he was going through the Holy Spirit, his power, his gifting, tongues, all those things went with it. The only way they can cope with it is put a whole lot of it into the historical past. Now that we've got our Bibles in our hands, does that mean we don't need the teacher, the Holy Spirit, activated in us? Come on. Come on. It was when I was in São Paulo. I think between Alphaville and São Paulo, they was a pretty good sized hotel that had a room that seated 1,000 people. And it was where somebody lived that in the past something happened. I don't know what it was. But they turned. Anyway, I was making it a point. Anybody that had aught against me was going to them and fixing it to make sure that I didn't cause it or wasn't continuing it. So that's why I booked that meeting in that town, because he lived there. Well, I really wasn't expecting quite what happened. 1,000 people did come out. And they had a live TV program that came out from the hotel. It was on cooking. So after the meeting was over and we came out, there's about 300 filled with the Holy Ghost, I think. I don't know how many saved. Anyway, I came out and there's a woman doing a cooking class. It was kind of an advertisement for the hotel and that, but they had a station there with their cameras. And it was her cooking. Well, they would do that. They would interview a popular person, like a singer or something, while they was cooking. And so they asked us if we wanted to do that. Said the leopard to the little sheep. Yes, I will. We sat down. They began the interview, kind of standard questions. But everything was on my side, because the person that was translating for me was the brother or the sister of the translator in the service. So they really knew what they were doing, Portuguese to English, English to Portuguese. So that's what I had on that program. So she starts out with some nice questions. What are you doing here? I'm having a meeting, and there's a whole lot of people got healed here, and I go right into some of the miracles. She said, well, can you tell me some of them? I said, oh, sure. There's this girl's brother. He was sitting in the service, and he got three teeth that had rotten cavities. The dentist can prove it. And they all filled up with gold. She said, she goes, she didn't expect that. I said, now, this is his sister, so she can tell you about it. Boy, God really fixed that one, her brother. And she was translating. So I says, tell her about it. She goes, I'm going to yell to get her back. I had no idea what was going on. The lady stopped with her spoon. She stopped stirring. And and so when we got near the end, I said, ma'am, the path to everything the cross has provided is as final and sovereign and finished as the cross itself. Don't you know there's a way to get on that path and put one foot in front of the other? Till you have everything he's promised. She's just standing there. So that ended, but it made it to the hotel management. And the manager of the hotel wanted to... He says, look, if you'll stay over, we'll get you a big interview yourself with this television program. I said, I'm sorry, my plane is scheduled out. I can't. I probably should have. But he said, this will just... If you can. And I found out he's the owner of the hotel. But he says, I want to meet you. And I said, well, next time. I think he ran out and introduced himself when we were going by at the last then. But God did all those. He did all those things. See, you can't pray, especially in the Spirit, as Romans, and when he's talking about finding the will of God and working his plan in your own personal life. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities and weaknesses. We don't know how to pray as we ought. Holy Spirit says, hey, wait a minute, I know the mind for you. So if you let me, I'll pray his mind, and then you'll find out things will begin to work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. You can't spend just one sentence in tongues that he is not establishing something. A path and edification. He wants this city. Well, he's going to get it because we're never going to stop. Not going to. See? So he does real good teaching there. Then he goes into the Jewish question. He spends a few chapters on the Jews. Their place in all this. Then he goes back on the 12th chapter. So goes back to the subject and says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you go on and offer your body a living sacrifice, as wholly acceptable unto God, just reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, transformed by the renewing of your mind, to prove what is not only the good, the acceptable, but the perfect will of God. And he says, I speak through the grace that was given to me. And he was separated to apostleship. Did he ask it? Did he beg for it? Did he want it? I speak according to the grace given to me. There's those in among you. You ought not think of yourself more highly, but think soberly according to God's given to every man the measure of faith.
Well, the measure, we don't know how much that measure is. Yeah, we do.
With Paul, it was the measure of faith to fill his office of an apostle. Well, I'm a teacher. You'll get your measure. He separates it to you with your call. Well, here we go. My God. And I didn't mean that as an exclamation statement. He really is. My God, what more do you want? What more do you want? He's looking at us. Here we are standing here and he's looking at us. You remember the scenario? The Godhead got together around the table and they were discussing mankind. They say, look at this. Isn't this the creation? He says, yeah, we created them, okay. And they looked down through time and Adam fell. So, you know, the second person of Godhead, the Word, says, well, okay, I'll just go take his place. And then I'll die in everybody's place that want to be. He says, okay, all right. So they look down through time and they do that and they get a new nature, but they still run around sinning and stuff. So finally he says, what are we going to do? And the Holy Spirit, he said, what I'll do is I'll go take up my abode in that new nature that they have. And I'll be in power there. So they looked down through time and they still wasn't doing nothing. Nor were they praying. So the Holy Spirit says, okay, you create the prayer, and then I'll voice it. You mean it's come to this? Yeah, not only do we give them a new nature, but we give them the power. Now we have to do their praying for them. Do you think they'll do it? I don't know, maybe. Come on. What do you want? What do you want?
Well, I've been tested and tried.
Let me take your shirt off. I'm talking to the men. I want to see how bad you were beat. Were you beat? Oh, what happened to you? Did somebody wait for green light to pass by and held you back at the four-way for another? Oh, my God, it's unspeakable. What? You mean there's a holiday that you didn't get paid on? Oh, can we help you? Do you need some counseling? Not you. You already got the answers. Isn't it incredible that God has put His mind in you to be prayed out on your behalf, the individualizing you? The prayer is just for you. And it's the path to the cross and everything He's called and has you separated for.
Well, I just can't find time to pray.
When you go before Him, would you call me? Because I'd like to come and watch. The day, great day of reward. Would you please give me a call? I want to come and watch what you say. Remember, the gifts and callings are without repentance. Who do you have? Third person of the Godhead to guide you into all truth. What do you got in your lap? Nothing. Sometimes it's a Bible. What do you got in your lap? 66 books. New Testament. What's your call?
Getting ready in time not to be late for church.
I see you're very spiritually deep. Do you know what you called for? To live forever. Yes. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. In other words, if we don't know His will for our life, if we don't know why He has, He's given us a way to find out. For he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, makes intercession for you then according to thee. Have you ever noticed that you're the one that has to quit praying in tongues? You say, okay, I'm going to sleep now. Or I've got to go home. Did you know you can pray in tongues while you're reading your Bible?
You can?
Yes. You're not using that part of your brain. You can. Because that's originating in your spiritual mind. You can. It's inside coming out, not outside coming in. He fixed it. So you'd pray His plan out in front of you and not know what you're praying, so you'll finish. Some of you, if you go, oh my God, I'm not going to pray that one. That's why there's four diversities. Tongues for personal edification, that's one we use mostly. Tongues is assigned to the unbeliever. That's when you speak in their language and don't know it. Spanish, French. What other one? Oh well. Spanish and French I preached in. Portuguese? A little. Tongues is assigned to the unbeliever. Tongues for interpretation. Tongues for interpretation is assigned to the unbeliever for your own personal edification. What's the fourth one?
Intercession.
What?
Intercession.
What kind?
Groaning.
That's it. So what do we want? He even fixed it where we could pray if our mind was needed somewhere else. Reading, digging holes, putting boards in them. Praying whether or not you should give a good slap, some, you know. The answer would be just to forgive them. But you can forget that. Kiloma said, Yeti ai kumo kleriko frubulati skinde. Gianno oraklo vetokos karobala kietme. No se hopa bada kadesi. Haneseo. Beko serecia. Basically, interpretation, because I was hearing it and saying it, was that he gave this to you so that you could open up a communication with me where I could order what's being prayed and continue to move your life down the path that I have set for it. So think not that you're not accomplishing much when you're praying in my language and doing other things and going about your usual business and time. And any time you can give to me for the edification, you can rest assured it wasn't you that said you'd be edified. I said that. Tanko said, Alokos Kinesi, Mohoreke. Yes, I forgot that. It isn't because you're vocalizing real loud in our language, in the natural world we live in. Much of the praying I do, I whisper in so low I can't hear myself. But trust me when I say, he does. It's what you're saying to him, not how loud you're saying it. It's because it's coming from you. You're the one that has the authority to bring to pass everything he's prayed. Brother Robertson, how do I know when he's answering these prayers for me and he's doing these things? I have found that when I pray, like you and I could go up to Amazon, we'd put you 200 miles on the other side where it exits into the ocean, has a lot of little islands. But we've already got our plan. We're going to walk up to the beginning, and we're both 30, and we're going to meet at the beginning of the Amazon when we're 70. And you're going to go up your side, I'm going up mine. And along the way, we're going to get whole villages saved. We're going to train them, establish pastors and everything, then move on 5, 6, 7 miles and 10, I don't to do the next. But what we have to commit to each other is we'll spend at least 4 hours a day praying in tongues. And then when we reach our summit, we'll see how that affected us. Maybe we can write a book on it to help the body of Christ. So here they go, faithfully along the path, praying. Getting settled, praying, getting people saved and filled and staying until they've established pastors and elders. Could take 6 years or something and move on. Till you're both 70. This, you both got the same birthday, just 70 years, you know. It's time to meet. You start comparing notes. Did you pray your 4 hours a day? You? Did you establish churches now? Oh yes, all the way along and trained. And well, how did he use you? Oh man, how many dead people are raised? And oh God, how about you? Yeah. Yeah, but I was particularly good at teaching. Oh, myself, I'd preach so hard they'd come into from the jungle and repent over a banana peeling. They start comparing notes. What do you believe about fasting? And they find out they believe the same. What do you believe about praying in tongues? They go over all their notes and their histories and they find out they believe exactly the same. Well, what do you believe about the rich man and Lazarus? One tells the other guy and he tells him back, that's exactly what I got. And why? Why? You can't get before him. He that searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, makes intercession for you according to the will of God, and then we can know all things will work together for the good of them who love God, called according to his purpose. You can't spend that time in the presence of the one that's going to guide you into all truth, your teacher. You can't stand in his presence and pray what he's given you for 4 hours a day and not get to the end of the Amazon understanding scriptures that you should write a book. You're turning the teacher loose in you. Don't you know that? Why do you think you're edified? Why are you understanding mysteries all of a sudden? You know what that verse means? I don't. Yes, I do. Somebody was asking about the old wineskin. You don't put new wine in old wineskins, old bottles, new patches on old garments. So I said, well, why not? Jesus was answering their question that they didn't fast and pray. He says, well, you don't put new wine in old bottles. They were asking, well, why do you fast? New wine in old bottles? He said, you don't put new wine in old bottles, but that's what he was about to do. He was going to go be offered. You were going to get born again, but you're going to stay in the old wineskin. The fasting will help mortify it and preserve it for the duration of the operation of the new wine. Same with the new patch. Let's go somewhere harder. He breathed into Adam. The breath of life came a living soul. What did he breathe? God, is he dependent on air? Does God get rid of? Come on. When he breathed into, what did he do? Well, he said, what must I do to be born again? Said Nicodemus, the teacher. What must I do to be born again? Jesus says, I can tell you. You must be born of water and the Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof. You don't know where it comes or where it goes. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. I could see Nicodemus. Thank you. Thank you. I now know everything I need to know about. Well, what did he say? You first have to be born. Then the wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound of where it comes or goes. What God did is he breathed the life into him. It wasn't a blast of air. So when he talked about being born again, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound there. I don't know where it comes or goes. So is everyone born in the Spirit. That means you could be on the North Pole and the South Pole at the same time. Bow your head and pray to be born again. And the breath of life will be breathed into you in both places. It doesn't matter anymore. Wherever you're at, you will be born again. Well, who taught you those things? Who do you think? Who do you think? Come on. Hallelujah. When I got over here, my spirit kind of flipped over. It got locked in or engaged in a real war. Just a real war for as long as it lasted. Oh, and the devil's beating on somebody and telling you, God, what's the use? Blah, blah. You're not doing good. You're not going to make it. Maybe. This is real. I remember when he used to do that to me. Not anymore. Not only will he, if he gets a chance, destroy what the devil has done, but he can also go in and heal whatever he thinks gave him access. He likes to pick on our weaknesses. But if that's you and you just, that comes on, it's a hopeless feeling. What's the use? Good land. Lie. Nah, nah, nah. Come up here. Oh, goodness. But I got to hear, and I saw it was Jobs. Then I kind of got tickled. If you need a job, you've been looking. This was kind of urgent a little. Is there anything he can't do? No, not him. But there's a lot you can do and can't. In the next 6 weeks, a pretty strong inflow of Jobs. So if I was you, I'd stand up now if that's what you need. I think I may get a job teaching. Don't wait till these guys start bringing back their testimonies and then jumping up. Come on now. Get up. Even if you believe you have it and don't have it sealed yet, get up. Yes. 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 Go, Maskelisi. Father, you wanted us to touch this. When you do that, then that's because you need something. You need something to move with, and that's what we're giving you, which is our faith. That's what we're giving you. This is not hard for you. And Father, they're looking for a certain amount, but I don't need to tell you that. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm dropping every single person that's on their feet off with you to receive a job, a good one. And for that, I give you all the glory. And just the fact that we can do that causes me to thank you with all my heart. I thank you for the testimonies they'll bring back.